bigger artists here. The house will come to order. Please stand. The flag salute will be led by Representative Girard.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our opening ceremonies this morning will be presented by David Lundgren, who is the stake president of the Oregon City Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, guest of Representative Kennemer. Welcome.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this day with gratitude in our hearts for the blessings that we receive at Thy hands. We are grateful for living in a free country, grateful for a wonderful constitution that was inspired by Thee. To very many early Americans that were faithful to Thee and wanted to have us have a free country, and for that we are grateful. We are also grateful to live in this great state of Oregon. And as we celebrate the 155th year of its creation, and there will be many celebrations and activities of service, we ask Thee to bless those that will participate, that there will be a tremendous outpouring of service, and that all of us Oregonians may recognize what a privilege and blessing it is to live in this great state, with the beauty of the oceans and beaches and forests and volcanoes and deserts and high plains. For a beautiful state. We're grateful for these House members, and as they open this session, we ask Thee to bless them, that they will feel of Thy inspiration and guidance as they do the people's business. This is a sacred responsibility, and we ask Thee to be with them and bless them for their sacrifice and for their families who allow them to come here, a great personal sacrifice to serve as citizens of this state. We ask a blessing especially upon the youth and the children, that they will have good mentors and families, people they can look up to watch over them, that they will be protected, and that the children will always feel loved and appreciated. We ask for these favors and blessings, Heavenly Father, and every other blessing that Thou seest that we may need, and do so in the name of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Courtesies, Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate it. I wish to ask that courtesies of the House be extended to President Lundgren and also to Mrs. Penny Lundgren, who are here today, hailing from Oregon State. They are constituents of mine, and we thank them for the many good deeds and hard work they do in our community.
Welcome, and thanks for being here today. Further courtesies, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to introduce a group of students. They're sitting in the back gallery here. And colleagues, this is a very special group of students. This is not just any ordinary group of students. As many of you know, during my non-legislative life, I am a teacher. These are the students who I teach when I'm not in Salem, 30 of them anyway. They're 6th, 7th, and 8th graders at the Arbor School of Arts and Sciences. I can't see them, but you can tell me how well this works. Arbor students, would you please stand up and be recognized by the House Chamber? Oh, they still listen to me. This is a very good thing. This is a great group of students. They're humorous, creative, articulate, intelligent. Several of you are meeting with them this afternoon. I appreciate that very much, and I hope that any of you who runs into one of my Arbor students today will say hello and welcome them to the House. Thank you, Arbor students, for being here. I look forward to seeing you later in the day.
Welcome to your House of Representatives. Good to have you here. Further courtesies, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two honorary pages today. Our first honorary page, Desiree, if you would like to stand up. Desiree Gilson-Wirt is from Leslie Middle School. She enjoys volleyball and bowling, and I think that's the real ball. I kind of like the wee one. I don't know about Desiree. And she wants to be a crime scene investigator, and I told her to keep her eyes out while she was here on the House floor today. She might get some training for that. Thank you, Desiree. And my next honorary page that we have with us today is Talisha Sosa. And Talisha is also at Leslie Middle School in the eighth grade. She enjoys volleyball, track, and hip-hop classes, so maybe we'll get some lessons today from Talisha. And also wants to be a pediatrician when she grows up. So welcome to the House.
Representative Springer, back from a one-day rest but without a page.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I missed having pages yesterday. That's why I had to bring mayors in. Colleagues, please welcome to the House George Ramos, Jr. And he's 12 years old in the seventh grade at, we can all guess, Staten Middle School. He enjoys soccer, basketball, leadership, and math, and he would like to be an engineer or an architect. And next I have Derek Buchheit, and he's 13 in the seventh grade. He also likes football, basketball, baseball, and is on the student council, and he would love to be a professional basketball player. He's already surpassed me in height, but that's not really saying too much. Or he'd like to be an architect. Next, we have Samantha Watts. And Samantha's also in the leadership class, likes volleyball, and again wants to be a veterinarian. Next, we have Vicky, I've been practicing here, Papazian. I really messed it up. Age 14, and she's in the eighth grade. She enjoys basketball and would like to be a physician when she grows up. Please welcome them to the House.
Welcome to all of our pages. Thanks for your service to the House today. Further courtesies, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, today you're going to see in the building over 500 realtors. Please welcome them when you see them. They are here to talk about land use issues. They're here to talk about the economic slump we have and ways that we can, in fact, come out of this and provide jobs. So please extend a warm welcome to them. And we have about 40 or 50 just from my Medford, Southern Oregon area. So give them a big welcome.
Further courtesies. For our moment in Oregon history, Representative Olson, sorry I skipped over you at the beginning. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and apologies accepted. Colleagues, for another 150-year history minute, a statehood treaty with the tribes of Middle Oregon, 1855. While Willamette Valley settlers were putting together provisional and territorial governments, Native Americans saw their complex political systems challenged and finally undone through the forced relocation and treaty negotiation. Foreign disease and war had left Oregon's native peoples vastly outnumbered by the settlers moving into their homeland. To avoid annihilation, tribes reluctantly entered into treaty negotiations. In 1855, Nez Perce Indian chief Hallohushit, called lawyer by whites, and yes, Representative, that's close to it, signed a treaty that established a reservation on a small part of his people's original territory. The 1855 Treaty Council also created the Umatilla Indian Reservation, which required the Cayuse, Umatilla, and Walla Walla Nations to relinquish more than 90% of their 6-million-acre homeland. In June 1855, Oregon Superintendent of Indian Affairs Joel Palmer met at the Dells with representatives of the Upper Chinookan, the Shahapatin peoples of the Mid-Columbia River. The agreement he crafted, titled the Treaty with the Tribes of Middle Oregon, ceded to the U.S. government 10 million acres of land south of the Columbia River. The treaty removed most of the Upper Chinookan and Shahapatin peoples from the Columbia River corridor, which was destined to become a major east-west transportation route. That's route, not route. About 580,000 acres south of Columbia was also reserved for the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation. One Wasco elder told Palmer, The place you have mentioned, I have not seen. There are no Indians or whites there yet, and that is the reason I say know nothing about that country. If there were whites and Indians there, then I would think it was a good country.
Thank you, Representative Olson. The clerk will now open the voting system for the purpose of verifying a quorum. Representative Buckley, excused for business of the House. Representative Greenlick, also excused for business of the House. All other members are present. Messages from the Governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bills 5552, Senate Bill 581, 104, 170, 187, House Bills 2172, 2174, 2305, and adopted SCR 5, SJM 1, SJM 2, and SJM 3. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you to sign Senate Bill 54.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HCR 5, congratulating Coach Daniel J. Miles, Oregon Institute of Technology on success of men's basketball program. HJM 11, urging President of Congress to ensure that revenues realized from carbon sequestration projects on federal lands are shared with state and county governments. HJM 12, urging Congress to enact legislation increasing veterans' access to health care. HJR 23, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to initiative amendments to Constitution. SCR 5, in memoriam, Gene Landsman. SJM 1, urging Congress to allow Oregon veterans to obtain state home loans at any time after a veteran separates from service. SJM 2, urging Congress to enact legislation creating statewide transportation system to provide transportation for Oregon veterans to and from medical facilities. SJM 3, urging Congress to enact legislation providing complete health care for all honorably discharged veterans and their dependents.
Measures read for the first time or passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2012 relating to school capital matching sub-account and declared an emergency. House Bill 2013 relating to task force on public school facilities appropriating money and declared an emergency. House Bill 2014 relating to school construction taxes and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2870 relating to motor vehicles. House Bill 2873 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 2874 relating to victims of crime. House Bill 2879 relating to use of land. House Bill 2904 relating to property taxation and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2909 relating to Department of State police funding appropriating money and declared an emergency. House Bill 2910 relating to professional real estate activity conducted by real estate licenses. House Bill 2912 relating to taxation of property of the United States. Prescribing an effective date, House Bill 2913, relating to corporate taxation, prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 2914, related connected to federal tax law and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2915, related to government ethics. House Bill 2916, related to public employees benefit board. House Bill 2917, related to vending facilities operated by persons who are blind. House Bill 2918, related to disposal of prescription drug appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2919, related to payments made on consumer loans. House Bill 2920, relating to efficiencies in the provision of governmental services and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2921, relating to state finance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2922 relating to the allocation of conserved water. House Bill 2923 relating to septic tank tax credit. House Bill 2924 relating to nutrition appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2925 relating to health insurance coverage of prescription drugs. House Bill 2926 relating to service officers. House Bill 2927 relating to mailing of notices of public hearings. House Bill 2928 relating to power management software. House Bill 2929 relating to Department of State Lands. House Bill 2930 relating to redistricting. House Bill 2931 relating to collective bargaining rights of foster parents. House Bill 2933 relating to economic development and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2934 relating to health care coverage coverage for employees, appropriating money, and providing for revenue raising that requires approval of a 3/5 majority. House Bill 2935 relating to taxation on income reported to shareholders and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 2936 relating to Attorney General. House Bill 2937 relating to state-funded research that benefit private enterprise. House Bill 2938 relating to Oregon State Lottery Proceeds and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2939 relating to resident status for higher education. House Bill 2940 relating to renewable portfolio standards. House Bill 2941 relating to ballot titles and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2942 relating to ballot titles and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2943 relating to legislative research offices and appropriated money. House Bill 2944 relating to special education proceedings. House Bill 2945 relating to cyanoxins. House Bill 2946 relating to school facility planning. House Bill 2947 relating to nationally normed assessments and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2948 relating to school financing and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2949 relating to the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2950 relating to code compliance. House Bill 2951 relating to licensing qualifications for electricians and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2952 relating to small-scale local energy projects. House Bill 2953 relating to mining requirements for public improvement contracts. House Bill 2954 relating to construction contractor board. House Bill 2956 relating to interstate bridges. House Bill 2957 relating to supplemental insurance plans. House Bill 2960 relating to methods to avoid foreclosure and declaring an emergency. House Bill.
Bills read for the first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 2058 relating to regulation of health professions and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2611 relating to preceding year production limits for brewery public house licenses selling at wholesale and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2634 relating to security for payments of workers' compensation insurance premiums.
Bills read for the second time are passed to the third reading calendar. Consent calendar. Third reading of House Bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2302 relating to local correctional expenses.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2235A. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Colleagues, could we have a little quiet on the floor? Let's listen to the carrier. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill comes to you from your Transportation Committee. It's a simple little bill. It's a life-saving bill. It allows ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, to remove trees that are a hazard to the highways and you driving on them without contacting the, if it's an emergency, without contacting the landowner first. And then it requires them to, within a reasonable time, contact the landowner. And if they have to remove the trees, they remove them to the side of the road or a safe place out of the way. This is in response to some of the problems we've had during the storms, especially on the north coast on our state highways. I know you all appreciate it because it helps keep the highways open to the beach so you can come and enjoy the beautiful upper left coast. So please approve this vote today, and I'll be very happy. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Boone, do you wish to close? She does not. Just so we're all clear on which bill we're on, I'm going to ask the clerk to reread this bill, 2235A.
House Bill 2235, related to hazardous trees along state highways.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Harker, how do you vote? Harker votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Riley votes aye. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Buckley votes aye. House Bill 2235A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2302, relating to local correctional expenses.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2302A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. House Bill 2032 was introduced at the request of the Oregon Collectors Association and was voted out of the House Judiciary Committee unanimously with a due pass recommendation. And at the direction of the chair of that committee, I am standing in front of you today. Okay. This bill simply changes the current one-year statute of limitation on money owed to correctional facilities from a person that was committed to a local correctional facility to 6 years. 6 years is a common statute of limitation in the collection area. The current statute puts unreasonable pressure on the city and or county to render the sum owed to judgment, or they lose their right to collect on those matters. Under current law, if civil action is taken, this statute already allows for a person liable for expenses under the law to present evidence on the person's ability to pay and requires the court to take into consideration the person's financial resources, the economic need to provide basic necessities for the person and their family, and other monetary obligations that may have been imposed by the court as a result of the conviction. The court may enter a judgment of dismissal or for a lesser amount if the court finds that the person lacks the ability to pay. These protections adequately protect the financial interest of the individual. In many cases, it takes time after the release of a person from a local correctional facility to reestablish themselves financially. Current law limits the ability of a city or county or their agent to be flexible when working out a repayment plan on these debts. The current one-year statute of limitations does little to protect the rights of the person liable for these expenses and at the same time inhibits the capability for cities and counties to recover reimbursements that they are entitled to. So I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
He does.
Thank you. Does this limit the right or expand the right of the city and county to seek a civil judgment for these expenses that would allow them to extend the collection period past the 6 years?
No, Mr. Speaker, Representative Barnhart, it just extends it to the additional, from 1 year to 6 years is what it does, but it allows cities and counties to be able to do that.
Representative Barnhart?
Thank you. The language of the statute says...
I'm sorry, is this a further question of the carrier?
Further question, thank you,
further
Mr.
question,
Speaker.
Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
The language in the statute, as I understand it, is to seek reimbursement or seek recovery of the expense. I don't recall the exact language. That would suggest, at least, that if the city or county took some additional action to establish a judgment, that they could extend it for the period of the normal judgment. You think that is not the case in this situation?
And Mr. Speaker and Representative, I cannot answer that question.
Thank you.
I do not.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close?
I do not.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2302A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill. Kotek, Representative Kotek, are you in the queue intentionally? Proceed. What purpose? Why don't you try Representative Nolan's mic?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to request a return to courtesies.
Representative Kotek requests unanimous consent that we return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, colleagues. Please extend courtesies and a warm welcome to one of my constituents who is in the gallery, Robin Teeter. Robin, you there? There you are. Robin is currently the executive director of the American Leadership Forum of Oregon. I know many of you are familiar with their work. ALF, or ALF as it is widely known, is a nationally affiliated nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to joining and strengthening leaders in order to better serve the public good. Before joining ALF, Robin served for several years as executive director of World Teach, an international educational assistance organization based at the Kennedy School of Government's Center for International Development at Harvard. And Robin is a true asset to the state in the work that ALF does, and just wanted to say hello. Thank you. Thank you, colleagues.
Are there any further courtesies? The clerk will read the next bill under first reading, under third reading.
House Bill 2326, relating to motor vehicle liability coverage.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2326A. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2326 passed out of the Consumer Protection Committee by unanimous vote. The Maximum Wage Replacement Personal Injury Protection, or PIP, was designed to ensure Oregonians who are in an accident are able to continue to work and receive 70% of their average weekly wage to help them and their families survive until they could return to work. A limit of $1,250 was placed on the maximum amount they could receive. This limit has not been changed since 1989. With the cost of present-day mortgage, it should be clear that a maximum payment established 20 years ago with no adjustment for inflation is not adequate to protect injured Oregonians, allow them to survive after a serious automobile accident. The current minimum on the property damage amount required is $10,000. That amount has not been changed since 1985. While the cost of new cars is doubled or tripled. Under the present law, if you have a $10,000 limit, you would be personally responsible for any damage that you cause to someone's property over that amount in an accident that was your fault. House Bill 2326 increases motor vehicle liability coverage for property damage from $10,000 to $20,000 and certain personal injury protection benefits from $1,250 a month to $3,000 per month for lost wages. Colleagues, this was a bill we had a lot of discussion on. The amendment that became the bill, the parts that were very controversial, are in fact a reasonable compromise. And so the bill is a compromise from both sides. I urge your support.
Further discussion, Representative Thatcher.
Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so.
He does.
Was there any discussion about a correlation between the unemployment rates and the number of uninsured drivers?
I don't recall that particular part of it. There was discussion regarding the fact that as these rates, you increase the coverage, the rates go up of the policies. We heard different figures, $2 to $6 a month.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Thatcher?
To the bill.
To the bill?
I just have some concerns. I think it's a good idea to increase liability limits and the personal, or the PIP, whatever that stands for. And I am, however, concerned due to the economic condition that we're in right now that we might be putting additional pressure on families who are choosing between food or insurance, and they'll probably choose food. I know I would. And drop their insurance. And this might just tip them over the edge. And I know it doesn't sound like a huge dollar amount, but when you don't have any money, or if you have just unemployment insurance, that $6 is a lot. And so I'm concerned about the timing. And I know that we do currently have the option to buy this additional insurance if you should so choose. And I would rather people had this limited coverage as it stands, rather than no coverage at all. And that's, I just question the timing. Thanks.
Further discussion, Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you.
Colleagues, I want to urge your aye vote on this, and I can, with all due respect to the comment that's made by our colleague, Representative Thatcher, I want to say that we heard some very compelling testimony within this. And again, this was debated for quite some time. One of the testimonies that we heard was from someone that was involved in an accident. The PIP didn't cover the house payment, and they were losing their house through litigation. We had strong leadership from our chair, Representative Holvey. I think all parties involved did what we would ask them to do. At one point, I, for one, was prepared to move forward as the bill was written, but I'm glad that the folks involved and stakeholders got together and compromised. This is a great collaborative effort. It was easy for me to support, and I'm asking you, if you look at the floor letter, read the specifics, and listen to our good representative from Southwestern Oregon, I urge your aye vote. This is a good bill. Should pass. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Krieger, do you wish to close?
Mr. Speaker, just briefly, remember that those people that are struggling and may be low income and it's going to cost them a little more, if they don't have greater insurance, if they are the person who caused the accident, they're going to be liable for a whole lot more, anything beyond their policy. So this actually gives them another $10,000 worth of protection, and I think it's something we need to do actually to protect them. It is a good compromise bill. Urge your support.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Representative Cannon votes aye. House Bill 2326A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 5552 relating to state financial administration and appropriating money and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 105 relating to fee schedule for federal operating permit program and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 170 relating to rural airports. Senate Bill 187 relating to State Department of Agriculture refunding payments. Senate Bill 581 relating to state financial administration and appropriating money and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the first time or passed the speakers as for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 14 relating to Oregon Patient Safety Commission.
Bills read for the second time or passed a third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus immediately following closure of the session today.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Democrats, please join me in the caucus room immediately following the close of session. Thank you.
And colleagues, effective immediately, I'm making the following changes to the Homeland Security Council, discharging Representative Jeff Barker, appointing Representative Gene Cowan, and Representative Tim Freeman. If you have any further questions, you can follow up with the Speaker's office. Further announcements. Remonstrances. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, as you all know, Oregon's statewide unemployment rate has risen sharply to 9.9%, a number far higher than the national average of 7.6%. These numbers for Oregon are simply appalling. When you look at the county-by-county numbers, you realize that it's Oregon's rural counties that are suffering the very worst of these mind-numbing numbers. Many of us represent these counties. Many of us in this chamber do not. For that reason, I'd like to take a moment to make sure that all House members are aware just how dire conditions are outside of the Portland metro area. On a county-by-county basis, unemployment rates read like this. Morrow, down 10.2. Marion, 11. Sherman and Yamhill, 11.4. Lincoln and Wasco, 11.6. Malheur and Columbia, 11.7. Lane, 11.9. Umatilla and Baker counties at 12.4. Coos at 12.6. Jackson at 12.9. Lynn at 13.3. Curry at 13.8. Deschutes, Josephine, and Lake at 14.6. Union at 14.7. Klamath and Wallowa, 15.4. Jefferson, 16.2. Douglas at 16.5, Crook 18.2, Grant 19.3, and Harney 19.7% unemployment rate. How sad for Oregonians. A few weeks ago, the buzz in this building was stimulus and job creation, but then legislation was passed, pats on the back were given for creating a few thousand temporary jobs, and the conversation has since waned. Colleagues, it's unacceptable, and every day in this chamber, we should be talking about two of the most important things Oregon should be dealing with. One, that's top of mind, is getting through the budget process in a responsible, fair, and transparent manner. Two is addressing the root problem of our budget, and that's the unemployment rates, to which I have just given you a few highlights. Is it your county at 12.6, 16.5, or 19.7? I don't know, but mine is the third highest in Oregon, my home county of Douglas. We've got to stop this bleeding. We've got to encourage job creation. Our Main Street incentive bill will be heard soon. It creates 6,000 jobs, and while it won't totally solve the issue, I would implore leadership in this building to act swiftly to implement that bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the remarks from the minority leader, and I know, speaking as one representative from a metro area district, when any Oregonian is out of work and the unemployment rate rises anywhere in the state, we're all concerned, and I look forward to continuing to working with him and the rest of you and everyone in this building to try to reduce the unemployment rate in Oregon. But the thing I wanted to address in this remonstrance was the conversation that we're going to have tomorrow, most likely on the budget, and that, and then going forward, there have been a couple of instances in debates where people have asked questions of the carrier and obviously had not, prior to the session, said to the carrier that I plan to ask you a question. And when I first got here, I'd never understood the reason why, coming from a debate background where I used to love to tell students to ask questions that people would not anticipate so you could trick them. I didn't understand it, but I've come to understand that one of the reasons we do that is it actually creates a more informed discussion. In other words, if the carrier is able to do the research beforehand, the questioner can still make the rhetorical point and use it in his or her argumentation, but you'll have a better answer. You'll have a more substantive answer as opposed to somebody sort of scrambling. Having said that, I do understand that there are times where all of us, we come up with questions that we had not anticipated based on the debate at hand, and that's fine. But I would just urge all of us on both sides of the aisle, to the extent we can, talk to the carrier and ask them or to let them know about what you're going to ask in terms of the questions so they could do more research. So thank you.
Further remonstrances, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to remind you that it is now March, and in light of all the conversations we've been having about unemployment and people realizing downfall in their stock accounts, if they even have one, their retirement accounts, people thinking about what are they going to do if they're out of work, it's early March. It's time to get those seed catalogs out, plan your garden, and when you do, hopefully you'll plan double the amount that you usually grow, and you'll give half of that away to your food bank, your neighbors, your friends. This is the time that we can all step up and help. It doesn't cost you very much. It just takes a little bit extra work. Thank you.
Further remonstrances, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in the Ways and Means Committee yesterday on Human Services, we heard from children and families about the cuts in their funding. And we know what that does to families. We've heard from families. We heard also from the workers. Because of changes that we had made in legislation last session, for a year they were able to make changes in the way they did business that were really a big help, that were moving well. That happened for a year until the economy started to tank. Now they are getting up to 50% more people applying for services. And this is, as we're saying, we cannot put in more personnel. So we are asking them to make changes that, in essence, will help along the way. We're asking them to serve 50% more people than they've served before, and we're not allowing them to hire new workers. I'm telling you this because I got something on my desk today about In-District Day on March 23rd. And what I have vowed that I'm going to do on that day, and what I'm suggesting that you consider doing also, is visiting your local Department of Human Services, especially the children and families. I asked the head of CAF, Aaron Kelly Seal, what can we do to encourage morale in this department, that we're asking to do more with much less? And she said what would be helpful would be if we as legislators were to visit them and tell them how much we appreciated what they're doing, and that we realize we are asking them to do more with fewer resources, that we understand what that is like for them, and that we want them to stay on the job and continue doing the good job that we're doing. So that's something I would ask all of us to do throughout the state, just to drop in, maybe take a plate of cookies, flowers, something to let them know that we appreciate that they're doing a very, very difficult job in hard times. And I also want to state that the substance and child abuse and domestic violence is also going up at a time as resources are going down. Thank you.
Further remonstrances? As we move to adjournment, colleague, I just want to note and remind us that we will not be in session on Friday of this week. Because of that, there are two bills that would have normally been on third reading for Friday that you may want to remind your staff. They will look like they're only coming for second reading tomorrow. They were on our first reading list today. Those are the two budget-related bills, Senate Bill 5552 and Senate Bill 581. Again, Senate Bill 5552 and Senate Bill 581. So you want to make sure your staffs pull both of those for you tomorrow, because those will be under rule suspension. We'll have those for both second and third reading tomorrow, which will then avoid us being in session on Friday. Adjournment, Representative Tomei.
Adjournment, Mr. Speaker, is Thursday, March 5th at 10:15 a.m.
Representative Tomei moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Thursday, March 5th, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourns.